You know, sometimes we underestimate God. And we really give up on Him much too early. Because He's got a plan of salvation that's so great that it's beyond our brain. It's beyond our understanding. And He's just stirring a lot of people to change their hearts. I believe that's what He's doing right now. He's stirring us to change our hearts so that His plan will unfold in our lives. I want you to bow your heads. Father God, without You, we can do nothing. But when we obey and we give out what You've given us, then the saints are blessed. And we become more and more in the image of the One who created us to begin with. His name is Jesus.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
I want to give you what I believe He spoke to my heart earlier this morning was that God's desire for us, meaning humanity, women, men, He wants us to be kings and priests. Kings and priests unto Him. And a lot of times we underestimate what that really means. I remember many years back, a book that transformed my life was Harold Hill wrote a book called King's Kids. Okay? And I remember reading that, and that's back in the 70s. It was so unbelievable to listen to this man teach, because he was on television once in a while. And when he would be on, I would always make sure to do my best to listen. And he was a gift to the body of Christ for that day. Because most Christians at that time had a defeated attitude. How many know what a defeated attitude is? I'm useless. I'm hopeless. I'm a nobody. Well, he kicked that stuff real hard by the truth of God's word. But I'd like you to come with me into Exodus 19 and to kind of look at God's intention way back then. He wanted to make sure that they would change their minds about what they had been. Now, at that time, Moses was an anointed vessel. And he was anointed of the Lord to change these slaves that had been in under Pharaoh for years and years. And it says, chapter 19, verse 1, in the third month after the Israelites left Egypt, on the very day they came to the desert of Sinai, after they set out from Rephidim, they entered the desert of Sinai, and Israel camped there in the desert in front of the mountain. Verse 3, then Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain and said, this is what you are to say to the house of Jacob, and what you are to tell the people of Israel. You yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt, and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. So who does all the work of bringing salvation? He did it. Now if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations you will be my treasured possessions. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. He didn't say you might be, he said you will be. Amen?
Amen.
All right. That settles it because God is sovereign. However, if you kept on going there, you'd find that they decided to do it on their own. They're going to do everything God tells them to do instead of trusting God to do it, which is not the intention of the Lord. The intention of the Lord is for you to rely on Him instead of on your own energy, because your own energy is going to fall flat.
Amen.
You're going to get discouraged. You're going to get totally wiped out, and that's not what He wanted. So now I want to take you to a few verses in the New Testament. And I want to take you first of all to 1 Peter. Because some people think it's just a figment of our imagination. But it's not. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. Well, start at verse 4. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by men. Who's the living stone? Christ Jesus himself. But chosen by God and precious to him. Now verse 5. You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. You say, well, what is that to me? A living priesthood. Meaning a people dedicated to serve one another and not, it's all about me. Because when we first get to know the Lord, we're focused on number one. If you're not, there's something wrong with you. We're all focused on number one. I mentioned that again last week, but this week, the Lord was pressing. When we focus on number one, we are really worshiping an idol, which is not God's intention. He has designed us and prepared us to become a holy priesthood. Well, what's a holy priesthood? It's not a bunch of people dressed in fine garments. It's a group of humble servants willing to obey. Okay? Many years back, when tradition became evident to me, I said, Lord, I was now working full time for Grace Church of Christ, Pastor Gino, and I wanted to know the rules. How many know you want to go by the rules wherever you work? So I asked him, I said, Pastor, what is it that you want from me? He says, I want you to do what you've been called to do, which is counsel. We set up a prayer line. And to make a long story short, my concern was if I needed to wear certain garments or whatever, I wanted to make sure that I fit in, that I wasn't going to be irritating him. And we were in his office, and he says, Kim, what are you comfortable in? I said, well, usually my boots or my sneakers or, you know, a pair of jeans, a t-shirt, sometimes a shirt, a sweater, whatever. He said, will you be yourself? Oh, that was a surprise. And a few months later, I found a sign. It's on this door as well, but it was on my office door for 20 years. I work for a Jewish carpenter. As I drove home that day, the Lord showed me a vision of all the carpenters that I used to deliver lumber to. He said, can you be a carpenter's son? So what was I trying to say? It's not your garment that's going to make you the priest. It's your heart. It's not what you wear on the outside that makes you an effective tool for God to use. It's how you have compassion for those who have problems. You could be in a school situation. You can be in a work situation. You can be driving down the road and some yo-yo's driving like my wife and I watched on Friday night. We're driving from Boston. Four or five lanes wide. A guy went by me on my left. I mean, he was like a bullet. We were doing 68, probably. Maybe even 70. I don't know, you know, somewhere close to that. If he going by me like a bullet, what does that tell you?
A lot faster.
100 or close, or maybe over. The traffic was 4 or 5 lanes wide, and he began to go zip, 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 zip. Left to right, right to left, went by everybody, and my heart is troubled. And my wife said, did you see it? I said, yes, and we need to pray. say, he doesn't deserve any prayer. Why did we see him?
So that you would pray. You would pray.
Thank you. So immediately, I said, Lord, send some angels, because whoever it is, man or woman, I don't care, but I want him to make it.
Amen.
I want him to make it to the victory, wherever he needs to go, because he's in a hurry. Instead of what I used to do, which would be probably use a few slanderous words, saying that little you-know-what.
Hand gestures.
A few gestures, yeah, that might have been addition. Yes, correct. But my priesthood came alive.
Amen.
That means I want that kid to be like my kid. Like, my God, it could be my daughter, my son, my grandson, my great-granddaughter. It could be anybody. That is in my heart. And somebody's got to step in there and pray a prayer.
Amen. Amen. I usually bless them when they do that to me. I'm crossing the stop and shop.
Yeah. Yeah.
My husband, I says, God bless them.
Amen.
Safe from trouble.
Totally.
Totally. Never
a kingdom.
Praise God.
Is a group of people. Amen.
Amen.
A kingdom is not just you on your own. I mean, yes, my wife and I were together. But there's sometimes you're alone in the car. How many have ever seen a few yo-yos driving?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Pray. How else are you going to protect them? Whose job is it? It's the one who sees it. Wouldn't it be nice if somebody prayed for you when you were being silly? Come on. No one you ever... You never got silly? You never drove something stupid? You never... No!
I used to do 110 when I was going to Boston.
Uh-huh.
That was years ago. There wasn't so much traffic.
That's a good excuse. Maria, I love you, girl, because you're human. My father-in-law used to drive to Baltimore a lot. Because his sister-in-law lived in Baltimore. He would get on the New Jersey Turnpike. It's 100 miles long, and he drove in 1 hour to the other end. Why?
Because he wanted to.
Because he wanted to, exactly. The speed limit wasn't 100 miles an hour. But he knew when you got on, and he knew when you got off. 1 hour. Why? Because it was a good idea at the moment. How many people prayed for him? I have no clue. But you know what? He made it to 82. All right? What am I saying to you? Okay? The Word of God says, let's back it up to verse 1, chapter 2. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice, of all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. You know what? Some people don't want to grow up. But God says we are to grow up. Now, is it fun to grow up? No! I loved being a baby. Oh, come on. I'm not hurting you that bad. Am I? How many enjoyed being a baby Christian? How many enjoyed being a baby and mama does all the work? Amen. Yes, there's nothing wrong with enjoying being a baby. I mean, it's a season, and it should be a season, and it's a godly season, and enjoying physical milk when you were a baby was great. Enjoying spiritual milk when you were a baby was also great. You should not be complaining when someone is growing up. You should be saying, I'll help you along.
Amen.
Grab them by the hand when they're having a hard time. Intercede for them, because that's also your priesthood. Not it's all about me, pray for me. How can I be a help to you? How can I assist you in your maturity? Or in your maturing process? Because it's a process. And And those of you who think you can do it on your own, I've got news for you. It's going to really be a real tough situation. Because I've learned that when you try to do it on your own, you're like on a slippery slope. And you're going to slip. And you're going to find that when you get to the bottom, you're not going to be that happy. But if there's a bunch of saints around you, when you land at the bottom, what's going to happen? It's like landing into a nice fellowship of love. Like landing into a feather bed.
Marshmallows?
You know? Marshmallows, sweet, yes, absolutely. Not too much peanut butter with lumps. But the smooth stuff. Okay? See, I don't know how else to say that your maturity is intended of God so that you can help others. Your maturing process, what you grow up into. Well, you say, well, am I already there? Well, let me ask you this. If you know anything about a king, you can take a good look at King David. He was anointed as a teenager to be the king of the nation. Okay? As a teenager, God said, you are a king. Was he a king at that point? Yes. Are you mature in Christ right now? Yes. Is there a process to get you to mature in your soul, mind, will, and emotions?
Absolutely,
and that's where we all are.
Amen.
Right now, you and I are in a maturing process, learning what it is to be a believer, learning what it is to be a priest unto God, learning to be a king. Meaning not to let everything happen to you like a slave. Because a slave has a mentality that he can't do anything for himself. A slave is always depending on the driver or the one that's pushing. I've got news for you. You are to be a slave unto righteousness. A slave to the things that are godly. A thing that will change you from what you were, from a selfish child to one that is willing to help. And you don't have to wait till you're 90. You can be in the process even as a teenager. I've seen young people be able to carry broken hearts in their own heart until the adults grow up.
Amen.
Thank you. You know, there's a reason why your eyes are open and maybe theirs are not. Did you ever conceive that? There are seasons in your life that you're going to learn how precious it is to be a child of the Most High. Recognizing that that priesthood is for God to make you and me into what He needs is incredible. Once there's an awakening in you, you're going to love what you're going to become. Isaiah 61:6 says, Isaiah 61:6, and you will be called priests of the Lord. You will be named ministers of our God. You will feed on the wealth of the nations. Don't you love that one? You will feed on the wealth of the nations. And in their riches you will boast. In their riches you will boast. Why? Because it's going to be turned over to you as a king. You say, wait a minute. I could take you back and show you King David when he realizes that he's going to be the one who's going to have a son. And God used his very weakness and ending up giving Solomon to the one who he committed sin with. I mean, can you figure that one out? How many know the story of Bathsheba? She was a gorgeous girl, and here's the king supposed to be going out. But he doesn't go out. He looks out his window and saw, hey, this gorgeous woman. And he takes her into his bed and has a child with somebody that's married. You say, my God, it's a hopeless case. No, it's not. That was King David when he was still under construction. How many of you have ever made boo-boos while you were being constructed? Thank you. Think about what I'm saying to you. If God shows you their hardships, if God shows you that they were human, if God shows you that they were weak, He can use the weak. He can use you where you're still broken. He's not looking for you to be perfect before He uses you. This is such a stupid thing. And people believe it. Oh, well, if I was perfect, I could pray for them. Baloney! In Him, you are already perfect. How do you like them apples? Amen. Close your eyes right now. Say, because I belong to Jesus. By His blood. I have been made righteous.
I have been made righteous.
And it's a reality now.
It's a reality now.
It's not when I get to be perfect in my own eyes.
It's not when I get to be perfect in my own eyes.
It's when God's opinion,
coming out of my mouth,
becomes a reality.
Becomes a reality.
I am holy now.
I am holy now.
I am righteous now.
I am righteous now.
Because Jesus' blood cleansed me.
Because Jesus' blood cleansed me.
And made me into a priest.
And made me into a priest.
And into a king.
And into a king.
Yes, under construction.
Yes.
Yes, under construction.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Again, listen to this word. And you will be called. He doesn't say you might be called. Isaiah 61. You will be called. Priests of the Lord. You will be named ministers of our God. You will feed on the wealth of the nations, and in their riches you will boast. Wow! You're going to sound like a boasting boomerang when you say, the world has already turned over its wealth to me. Ah. Try that one on for size. Close your eyes right now. Lift your hands to the Lord. Say, I'm going to declare what God says about me.
I'm going to declare what God says about me.
I will be called.
I will be called.
And I am called.
And I am called.
A priest of the Lord.
A priest of the Lord.
I'm also a minister of our God.
I'm also a minister of our God.
And I will feed on the wealth.
I will feed on the wealth
of the nations.
Of the nations.
And their riches.
And their riches.
I will boast.
I will boast.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
The world's wealth.
Will
come to me
on the day appointed,
so that the house of God, the kings and priests of God, will bless those less fortunate. I'm elected
into this new position
by faith in Christ Jesus, who started an awesome work in me,
and He will finish it.
Hallelujah. Put your hands down. Revelations 1:6, and has made us to be a kingdom of priests to serve His God and Father. To Him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. It's confirmed in Revelations 5:10. One more. Revelations 20:6. Blessed and holy are those who have part in the first resurrection. The second death has no power over them, but they will be priests of God and of Christ. Watch the next part. And will reign with Him for 1,000 years.
Amen.
And will reign with Him. Not without Him. Not on your own for a selfish motivation. But you will reign with Him. For how long?
1,000 years.
Are you ready to take your position? By faith. It's not going to get done until you start declaring who you are in Christ. And you know what? When you first speak it, how many could feel a churning inside their belly when they were declaring that I'm going to be a priest? Yeah, it feels weird. And that's okay. Even when you declare that you're going to be a king. You know, every king has a queen. So don't get worried, guys. Okay? Well, I mean, I'm serious, okay? Stop worrying about that stuff. What I'm saying to you is this. The truth of the word, when it begins to blossom inside of you, your unbelief will fall apart. And that's my goal. If I can push you guys enough to get you to let go of the unbelief, oh, well, it's great for him, but not for me. I've got news for you. You can start declaring, it's great for him and it's great for me. Look at your neighbor. Say, it's great for me. And it's great for you. We're in agreement. We are a kingdom of priests and kings for God's glory. Hallelujah. Yes!